Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, we're good to go.
Amazing.
Now we're recording. How the hell are you? Who are you?
We're good. Yeah.
We're the Coffer Sisters. Actual sisters. That's the first thing everyone asks. I thought it'd be pretty obvious by the name, but it's not.
Everyone thinks we're twins because we look identical, but...
Well, it's not that obvious. Maybe you're just really good friends who, I don't know, felt a sisterhood. But you actually are
true.
Sisters. But you're not.
No, we're real sisters.
But not twins.
Yeah.
So you're Welsh, right?
Yeah.
So what's like the biggest misconception or misunderstanding about being Welsh?
Oh, there's a reputation about Welsh people. But I've never really met those kind of people that they there was a show about Welsh people. It was very tacky and very kind of slutty. Yeah. But it's not like that at all. It's actually kind of classy.
It depends where you go.
Well, what was the show about? I guess Welsh stereotypes or something?
A reality TV show of like them just getting drunk and
partying hard. Especially because we're from Cardiff, which is like
the city.
A proper party city. But we just don't see that side.
No.
So Cardiff, like born and bred kind of Cardiff?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know anything about Cardiff. I think they have a hockey team, but that's about as far as my knowledge goes, which probably doesn't do much for this podcast episode. So like, what's it like there? Like, how many people live in Cardiff? What's it like for you living there? What's the entrepreneurial landscape like for you?
So we always kind of like recommend people not to come here because we find it really boring. But when we bring people here, they love it. I think we're just very different.
I guess it's because we've lived here all our lives. We just want to go travel to different places. And
we always take people to more of the countryside or to like the national parks. Brecon Beacons is beautiful.
There's some good hikes around.
Interesting. So it's like a nature lover's kind of paradise, but it's also got a lot of partying going on.
That's right. That sums it up.
So this is the first time we've spoken. Actually, it's the first time I've even heard you speak because I haven't listened to any podcasts or interviews or anything like that with you before.
Yeah.
But your brand is clearly loud, but you two seem pretty chill, is my first impression.
Oh, good. Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say we've definitely got a very obvious branding going on.
Yeah.
That, which we love. That's the whole point of everything we do. We just want it all to be consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you do that well, and we're going to get to all that good stuff shortly. But maybe you can start with the story of, or maybe it was like a video you did of a tattoo parlor, which was kind of your first start in the video world, if I'm reading correctly.
So when we, basically, we were kind of both doing retail jobs, and we just wanted to do, it just wasn't us, and we just wanted to do something fresh, and we've always loved doing videos.
We were always filming, but
holidays.
Our friend was just like, "Oh, I'm doing this event. Do you want to like film it? Because I know that you love your cameras and stuff." And we're like, "Yeah." And that's how like we just started. And we actually just jumped in the deep end and quit our jobs and just started doing our videos.
The video we did with the tattoo parlor was because we just did it for our friend. Basically, they then contacted us the event and they were like, "Can you do the rest of them?" And we were like, "Whoa, maybe we're okay at what we're doing and maybe we can do this."
So you jumped in like completely green, like, but you must have kind of known what you were doing. Like, I mean, making videos is not that easy. So you kind of must have had some sort of background. Like, did you have any like training or education or just goofing around making videos of each other?
It was literally just, we've just grown up doing travel videos together, and we've always documented no matter where we've gone.
And we've always, we're self-taught. We just literally just
mess around.
Yeah.
So it's, so we'd never really done it as, it's weird because we're not technical at all with our cameras. So we've always just gone with the flow and kind of just
had fun with it.
Yeah. So we've learned everything through mistakes and just having fun. Yeah.
So you got your first kind of like break, I guess you could say, with your friends in the tattoo parlor, but that seems like, I don't know,
way off start.
Well, it's a I guess you could say that. But it's a perfect start for you and probably something that carried on. Like, okay, so I'm jumping around a little bit here, but I was thinking about you two and like who hires you, and it seems like you pretty much got a clear demographic of people who are attracted to your brand, and it's very kind of rock and roll tattoos and, you know, like fun, outgoing, exuberant kind of people. From when you started, you know, around the tattoo parlor days, like to now, like what is it like when you get approached by people who aren't those kind of like extrovert, rock and roll-ish kind of people? Like, do you take chill, normal people's, you know, weddings?
Yes and no, I'd say.
Yeah.
I feel like we still get a lot of inquiries that aren't our style. And if they still sound really fun and like we know we could have
like
a good time and do it well.
I guess we always try to vibe with all of our couples, and like there's got to be something that really attracts us to their wedding. But yeah, that doesn't always,
because we get a lot of inquiries that are like, oh, we're not as alternative as like all your other couples, and that doesn't really put us off. It's more that we want to keep doing unique things. We don't want to get stuck in doing not boring, but like more traditional, like
we want to steer away from traditional weddings. Yeah. And yeah, so or if they're not alternative as a couple, they might have a crazy wedding even though they're not, you know.
Yeah. Maybe the traditional will be your alternative one day.
It is turning that way.
No, that's awesome, and it's clearly working very well for you. And when I think about, I asked Monica Frias, who's another filmmaker who's coming to Way Up North. I did a podcast with her about a month ago.
Yeah.
And like, she's all business. She's the real deal, just like you are.
Yeah.
And I asked her a similar question, like basically, why weddings? And I'm curious about that because like with filmmakers, you have like, filmmakers are like, you know, they have a wide breadth of talents. You have to understand a lot of things, I think more than photographers, to be honest. And so like, I always get curious why you get bogged down, or maybe bogged down is the wrong word. Like, why do you do weddings when, you know, there's a world of businesses out there who are just like starving for this type of creative film skills?
So, again, when we first started, literally no one was doing videos in around us. It was very, very, very rare to find videography in the wedding
industry. Maybe we
should,
in the UK.
Maybe we should start from the beginning, as in, so the reason we got into weddings is because, do you remember Tumblr?
Oh yeah.
Old school. Sure.
We could never get it to work for us to like get the big viral kick that Tumblr was known for.
I feel like it was more back in the day, it used to be huge. It probably is still going, but I haven't gone on it in years. But I know, I remember when it was like everyone had their own little blogs, and I remember a video went viral.
A wedding video.
Yeah. And
one that you did?
No, someone else's. It was, what are they called?
Kind of Family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Legend. So it was this massively American, like little chapel. It was kind of like Kill Bill vibe. It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful video I'd ever seen for a wedding. And I thought, oh my God, I didn't know
weddings could be that amazing, that fun and different.
Because where we're from, the only wedding videos we see are the like really slow. Like, we wouldn't be able to watch a 3-minute video of a wedding over here.
Like back in the day, we're talking.
Yeah, back in the day. And So this kind of blew us away because we'd never seen one that had been cool, like fun, and just so different. That wasn't like your stereotypical church wedding. So that straight away blew us away. And we were like, I would love to do that in the UK. So that's kind of how we got the idea of doing weddings.
And we contacted a load of like alternative wedding blogs, and just we ran a competition actually to do some free wedding videos. And that's how we started with weddings. It really kicked off really well.
But our main thing is that we didn't want to do a normal, we wanted to be really stand out as doing weddings our way. And so.
Well, for somebody who's never seen one of your typical like Costa styled videos, like how would you describe it?
A music video, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's very high energy, fast clips.
Yeah, really fast paced. And
the again, like I think the music kind of sets it as well, which is quite rock and rolly, I guess, like heavier than a normal, what you wouldn't expect a wedding video to sound like.
Yeah.
Sounds almost like you make wedding videos fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I don't know. Like, I haven't thought of this before, but like when you think of wedding videos, it's like, okay, begin with the drone shot and the ominous music. And that's cool. Lots of people love that, and it is very beautiful. But it, you know, it's kind of like a morose tale of a wedding day. But it sounds to me like you just kind of like, fuck it, let's make it fun.
Oh, yeah, we don't put. We kind of feel like we don't have to stress about. Oh God, we have to put in the cake cutting and. We just, anything that's fun, fast energy, dancing, everyone enjoying themselves.
Yeah, we just make a wedding video that we'd be interested in watching.
Yeah, it's a big mashup. There's no order to it.
Yeah.
It just looks, yeah. We just want it to look like a massive party, basically.
Yeah.
How much do you interject like your own personalities into like the day of, like when you're doing projects, whether it's like weddings or anything else that you're doing, like, I mean, your brand is kind of like big and, you know, robust or whatever. And so like, do people expect that out of you with your personality?
We're like that. At the wedding day, we're so hyped up. We're like so excited and we love what we're filming. And
which is a big part of why we're so fussy with the weddings we choose, because we want to be that hyped and that excited on the day.
Yeah.
So we always, So a lot of every project we do, we're so excited for it. And you can tell, definitely. I think, so when we edit, we do it on mute because we annoy, we cringe each other out at how excited we are on the day.
Yeah. We'd never give out our raw footage because we're just like, oh my gosh, it's amazing.
You're really like that all the time?
Oh, yeah. Jesus
Christ. Sounds exhausting.
It should be, but it isn't.
That's really interesting. Like, well, I mean, it makes sense. You love what you do and you're great at it. But I don't know. Like, I always think of like when I've never made a film, photographed a ton of weddings. But when I think of filmmakers, they're oftentimes just kind of like slowly moving with their gear and kind of in the shadows, or they try to be, you know, and it sounds like you two just kind of get right in there. Like, what's it like with you working with photographers, for example?
Well, this is the thing, is we preach a lot about this in our workshop that with you. We just talk about how like the difference, between, we're just all about just, you've got to like really enjoy yourself and stuff like that. And we have worked with a lot of people that are very quiet and stuff like that, which there's nothing wrong with. And but with our experience, we would personally prefer a bit more like enthusiasm.
But like a lot of the time we shadow a photographer.
Yeah.
So
we do work really well with
No, especially because most times the weddings we've gone to have two photographers, so there's four of us and it seems a bit overwhelming, but it ends up just being so much fun.
Enjoyable. And
most people hire people who have the same style. Kind of style and branding as us. So when that happens, it's the perfect
combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wicked. So like you two, like as individuals, how are you like to, like, how are your personalities similar or different? Or would you say you're two, you should be twins, would you say?
I would say we're exactly the same. Like,
yeah, there's not crazy. Many differences, I wouldn't say. It's a bit weird.
But I kind of think we bring different things to the table, like, with when it comes to our work. It's crazy. Like, we're like half a brain each, and we, like, work together. Okay.
Really, you kind of you segue that perfectly, actually, because I can't really think of many other film teams that actually are like a team, like what you do. Like, yeah, I can think of quite a few studios, and they might, you know, send their people out individually to go do weddings or whatever. But, like, you two do everything together. If that's, and, like, what's that like? Like, how do you, like, distribute tasks, or, like, you must butt heads with ideas from time to time. Like, what is your working relationship like?
It's just really well. Like,
I think because we've always been close, we just kind of know how each other works, so it just makes everything so easy. You'd think, because, again, one of the most top questions we get asked is, how do you not kill each other? And to be honest, like, we've never had any. Just working together is the dream. Like, it should be really difficult. I know there's a lot of people who do, they're like husband and wife.
And they work in duos. Separate rooms and stuff like that to, like, avoid any dust ups.
So we'd expect to be like that, but we're actually, we just enjoy it all. Like, I think.
We do it all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have our set things.
Like, okay, just to jump in, like, do you guys, like, live together? Do you have, like, partners? Do you have kids? Do you have dogs? Do you have cats? Like, what's your, like, personal life? Like, what do you do? Like,
so we're not living together at the moment, but we have in the past. Yeah. And we do live.
So, basically we have a converted garage that we've turned into our office. So we see each other every day.
Yeah.
So I live with my partner, and there's a little doggy because we love dogs. We also, would you say babysit dogs? Dog sit?
We dog sit, yeah. That's a little part-time little job on the side just because for fun.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, the planner for Way Up North, her name is Erin Bishop, who you'll get to know very well during the days of the event. And she's obsessed with dogs. And her first job was like a dog sitter. Or a dog walker, actually. She was a dog walker.
That's amazing.
We have to have a dog on our lap when we're editing. It's like so amazing.
We have two dogs here right now.
So dog lovers, I like it. That's going to go over well when you get to Stockholm.
Oh my God, can't wait.
All right. So, like, I guess I kind of, like, went there with the question because I'm curious, like, what are you like when you're not the Costa sisters? Depressed. I understand that it's important to invest a lot of yourself in your businesses. Anybody, that's just like common sense. Like, invest your time, invest your passion into it. Otherwise, it's probably not going to succeed. Clearly you're a success story of that. So, like, what goes on when you're not Costa sisters?
Well, the good thing about our business is because we don't just do wedding, we do really try and put all our hobbies into it, like bikes and tattoos and all that stuff. That's how that's kind of been put in. And our biggest thing is traveling. We work a lot on bucket lists and stuff. So, because we want to do weddings and filming as far away as possible from our hometown. So everything we do, I think we've done maybe one wedding in Cardiff. We've always branded ourselves to be able to travel.
Interesting. So you're big bucket list kind of people.
Yeah.
And you kind of use those passions or curiosities to achieve the bucket list item to kind of, like, drive your entrepreneurial ventures a little bit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're obsessed with traveling. There's nothing that inspires us more than a good
trip away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you started out, like, how did you brand yourselves as these traveling destination videographers? Wow. Like, what were some steps you did?
I guess we just did a lot of traveling anyway. So, like, we were just posting a lot of pictures of that. And because we were combining travels as well as, like, with weddings and stuff like that, it just kind of happened for us. Like,
it fell into place. Yeah.
People were like, oh, they travel. like they'll travel for my wedding, or, you know, and it just made things.
I remember a lot of people used to think we were from America, which we love, but because we were always in America, like kind of posting and traveling and just documenting everything. And yeah, and then
like we got hired to do a lot of weddings in America.
Mostly, so we're big into like making friends on Instagram. That sounds a bit weird, but so a lot of our friendships,
just people in the wedding industry in America, and we've made a lot of friends along the way, and they've ended up like recommending us, and that's how we get our work really, like abroad, definitely. Like through making friends through Instagram.
It's interesting to hear that, because like I've, with this crew that's coming to Stockholm this upcoming October, I've done a few podcasts with everybody, and there is no move, there's no like golden hashtag, there's just like being a normal person, and that sort of results in what you want to happen. It sounds like that's exactly what's going on with you two.
There's obviously a lot of things that everyone hates about Instagram, but for us it's always just been the dream. Like we've made friends all around the world. It's where I'd say 90% of our work comes from.
Yeah, we're always just supporting everyone and like
I think it's a perfect way to get inspired, and we just love it.
Interesting. All right, so just to switch gears, your workshops, why don't you describe, like, not the one you're doing in Stockholm necessarily, but in general, like why don't you chat about your workshops and like why do you do the types of workshops that you do?
We just basically want to inspire people and like get people to do their business your way, break your rules, and like you don't have to please everyone, and I think a lot of people get a bit caught up and a bit anxious about stuff like that, and like we just want to show them like you can do it your way, and just like don't have any worries, and like, you know.
And also, like I said, because we aren't massively technical with our cameras, and I feel like it's nice for people to know you don't have to be this person who knows absolutely everything. As long as you've got a vision, you can totally make it work. You can do amazing things with just the creativity side of it. And I think we love to preach kind of go wrong, make mistakes, and like wing it. It's amazing. Like, it's just really refreshing.
So we basically do a 2-hour talk, and then we do a 2-hour shooting a couple that we've brought in.
Yes.
And yeah, and we just have
and
fun.
A lot of our high energy stuff, like we kind of show how we get that out of our clients, and it's always just so much fun.
Yeah.
So, and it's all about like hustle hard and hustle, hustle, and like
totally.
The like, okay. So one negative thing that has been like spoken about, online is like the hustle porn phenomenon, and like glorifying, you know, glorifying the hustle.
Yeah.
So I'm curious with you, like, I get that you're all about the hustle thing, and that's awesome, and it works very well. But like, how do you temper your passion a little bit so you don't get burnt out with this hustle, hustle, hustle like mindset?
Again, like it all just feels like it never feels like we're pushing any ourselves. It's strange. Yeah. It all just comes kind of like
naturally, and
it's so weird. I'm not sure how to.
I because I've not heard of any of this, so I don't know. But like,
oh, it was the who was it? It might have been the founder of Tumblr, actually, just to kind of bring it full circle.
Yeah.
But I need to double check that. But it was a talk recently at a tech conference, and basically what he was speaking about was like the glorification of hustle porn.
Yeah,
is like not a good thing. I'm not giving this very much context, so it's not fair to like just throw it at you. But I just know that like your like workshops are all about that. And I was just curious with you, like, how do you kind of like temper things a bit so you don't burn out? Because that is like the negative result of too much hustle.
Yeah. No, again, so we are super, super, I think what's the phrase? Quality over quantity. So the first thing all photographers or videographers ask is, how many weddings
do you film?
And and we're like, oh god, I don't know, we don't
count. Like
yeah
we literally choose things that, you know,
we're super, super picky, and we won't do back-to-back weddings. We won't do two in a row because we don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
So I guess, do you mean that kind of vibe?
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah. So we definitely are careful because in our first year, we really overworked it and we took on too many and they weren't our style. And
then it took so long to edit and we like learned a lot. Like the first couple of years. And
so when you're like okay, correct me if I'm wrong here, because yeah. I'm just assuming a whole bunch of stuff, but like if you're like, you know, promoting that effort, like you should hustle, like, and you still temper it a little bit, like, so what are you saying to people at the workshops and things like that when you're saying you gotta hustle hard?
Well, it's kind of
the opposite of, yeah, I guess.
We're more like chill
so
out.
We've got this all wrong.
Yeah. We're basically teaching them how to attract their dream couples.
And by saying no to people.
Yeah, like turning down a lot of work.
So I guess we're telling them to not hustle. Maybe we should it should be the don't hustle hard.
Yes, I love it.
That should be what we're...
Yeah.
So definitely in our workshops, we're kind of giving people the confidence to not have to take everything on, because I think that's what everyone thinks they have to do.
Yeah.
Well, when you're starting out, like I'm just thinking about someone who's maybe in the beginning of their, you know, journey as a filmmaker, you know, it's hard to say no to stuff though. I mean, when you're kind of like just trying to get going. So how did you kind of address that in your own journey?
Well, we're kind of like, if we take on a lot, like some work that we feel doesn't really fit in with our kind of style and the, you know, with our branding, we kind of just keep that on the down low. Whereas we'll really like
rave about the stuff that is our style.
Yeah.
So if we are just take it, like we wouldn't so much do that now, but when we first started out, all the things that we weren't so keen on, just still amazing stuff, just doesn't fit in with our branding.
Yeah.
We just wouldn't really show it off.
Yeah. Like that's how we built our branding.
100%. So you just kind of like sparked an idea or a thought about you. Like, why productions? Like that one word that you kind of slid in there with your branding, it makes sense. Because when you look at your wedding work, it is like a production, but it could also communicate that you want to do things outside of weddings maybe and be an actual like studio. Is that true? Do you have like aspirations to do stuff and just walk away from weddings eventually?
Well, we love doing weddings, but we love to do other things as well. So we're not just limited to weddings.
We do like events, behind the scenes, music videos.
Yeah.
Basically, we just try to do a bit of everything. Like one of my favorite videos we did, we went to a basement of a ring company, this independent ring company called The Great Frog. Mm. And we saw how it was all made. And that's one of my favorite things that we've done, because I admired that company for so many years.
Mm.
So
and when you're doing these types of gigs, like, is it still kind of like the signature style that you would do, like that you're known for within weddings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's interesting. I'm trying to like envision a ring company where it's like rock and roll and just
so they like took us to like bike events and what was the festival we went to, like a Bloodstock festival or something, I think it was called.
And gigs and
It was just a mashup of all like summer event. Oh, it was amazing. We had such a blast.
And they also took us to their basement where they were like,
yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Where we made it.
So it was like dark and grungy, like, so it like still fit in.
With like with weddings, like I've been around it for a while, and as sounds like you have, like when you have the wedding kind of like tag associated with your brand, it can be known as like the kiss of death a little bit. Like it's more so in photography, actually. Like if you're a wedding photographer, it's like, okay, you're on the lowest rung kind of. How have you kind of addressed that, if at all, with your brand being associated so much with weddings and doing gigs outside of the wedding world? Has that like negatively affected you at all?
No.
I think because our branding is like, as soon as you go onto our profile, it's never just weddings.
Yeah, we really mix it up.
We make a really like conscious effort to get everything in.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't feel like, it looks like we're just this just just wedding obsessed.
Yeah.
So you haven't like made separate portfolios or anything? No, anything
we,
like that?
No, we combine it all together.
And it's funny because our personal ones as well is very much like the Costa sisters as well. So
yeah,
it's all just like one big, everyone always kind of says, oh, it's really like satisfying visually to see it all just fits in, which is quite lucky.
I'm trying to think of like, so mostly Swedish people would listen to this, I'm assuming, because that's kind of the audience we have. And like, I don't know. There's like, I think there's even a law in Sweden, like written in the old books about like just kind of being on the same level as everybody else. Nobody sticks their head out from the sand or whatever you want to say. Like being Swedish, and I think you could say this for Scandinavians in general, like you kind of like stay in your lane and don't try to stick your head out too much. So I'm thinking about people listening to this and they're like, wow, they're so rock and roll. And they're so like, well, you know, you guys are pretty out there. Like, okay, how can I drill this down to a question? What would your advice be to somebody who's kind of got it in their belly to stick out a little bit from, you know, the crowd, but kind of is a little bit cautious about doing so? Like, what would you do if you were in this culture of kind of being an introvert when you're clearly not one yourself?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'd just be like, fuck it, give it a go, and like, and it, like, just try it, have fun with it, and see what works. And if it,
even if it doesn't even have to be something huge, but just like little steps, it's so refreshing to do something different.
Like you guys are checklist people. It sounded like. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, okay, I want to do this project because I think it's going to help me in the long run? Have you ever done something like that? And if you have, like, what were the steps that you took to kind of like achieve the project?
Yeah, I guess. We wanted to do
everything in the wedding world is the same, I feel. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like,
and I think in order to get like some new different ideas in, I think you've just got to make it yourself. So like we wanted to do something a bit different with weddings, and
we wanted to do like something same sex.
Yeah. And we wanted to make it kind of raunchy and
but fun.
Yeah.
And girly.
And but we got a same sex couple to dress up in like leather and studs and like bunny masks and like
Playboy kind of vibe. Yeah. Oh, and it was just so much fun. And we had this vision that we wanted to do. And we were like, oh, no, everyone's going to think we're so weird, because it just sounds like, to describe it, it sounds really strange.
But it was just something that we just had a visual of it. And we're like, oh, my gosh, I would love to see that. And like, we just made it.
We asked two girls who are a couple to do it with us. And they're quite into like, what's it called? Torture garden?
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. It's stuff that we're not into, but we were like,
I got you.
Oh my gosh.
This took a turn for the.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
But we wanted to do something really different. So we got them to bring all like little nipple tassels and. But we wanted it bride and groom, but same sex.
Okay. Okay. This is perfect. This is like the. How do you say this diplomatically? The fetishes aside, like this is exactly what I was hoping you would kind of go towards, because I'm thinking about filmmakers specifically here.
Yeah.
Like styled shoots with photographers is like a thing. Everybody does it and it's like a thing. But for a filmmaker, like what's like the best case result when you're styling something like this? Like what's the end product, and what do you hope will happen with that end product when you do a styled thing like this?
I guess to get more of that work back. So if whatever you're putting out there, you kind of attract back. So,
and not everyone has the ideas. So I think you need to see it to be able to think, oh my God, that would be so much fun. Like we could do so. And I think it inspires little other ideas.
Yeah. It gets people thinking like, but I think you have, you have to see it before you can think of it. Like just getting inspired from it.
All right, this is exactly what I was hoping you would say. And I just didn't get there with a good question, but we got there in the end.
Amazing.
Because there are a lot of filmmakers in Sweden. I can think of quite a few, and it seems like they're really playing within, you know, the lines a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas when you speak to them, they're like, this shit sucks. I want to do something fun. So I think that you're going to have like a little flock of filmmakers kind of on your tails when you get to Sweden here.
Because
there's a lot of people, like even, and to be honest with you, even photographers, like I know that what I'm seeing now is a lot of photographers who want to become filmmakers. So maybe they just need to hear you guys this October to push them over the edge. Yeah. But you guys do a lot of photography. You do. It seems to me like you put out a lot of photography as well. Like, do you ever get hired for photo gigs?
Well, a lot of people think we are photographers, but we're not. We don't. It's not.
We don't push that side.
No.
We're trying to play around with it a bit more. So, because a lot of people hire. So I think video used to be the last thing people booked as like, oh, if we have a little bit extra in our budget, we'll do.
Yeah,
you know, we will hire a video, but we were always, it was the afterthought of video was. But I think now it's becoming so big that it's
for us, we've been asked to do both the photography and the video, and like we're the only ones there, and we're kind of like, oh my gosh, like there's a lot of pressure.
Or they'll email and they'll say they want to book us before their venue, or we're like, that is mental.
Crazy.
Like have you not considered offering both services?
Well, that's what we're like, I guess we're trying, like if we need to, we
are
can.
We good enough for that?
I don't know. I wouldn't class us as photographers, like for us I think video, but like we'll try with photography.
Well,
I guess.
Let's just be honest here, the video is a lot harder than photo. Well,
see,
I don't know.
It's the other way around. I think photography is way harder.
Because the video comes more naturally to us. Yeah. So we're like, how do photographers do it?
Yeah, when we turn it to the photo side of it and we're like, oh my gosh, how do people do this?
Like, I don't know if you know Hannah Millard. Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
Yes.
She's the best. She's awesome.
Our first
awesome.
Ever wedding was with her.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. Well, I brought her up because she presented in Stockholm a short while back. And what she was talking about was offering both services. And she kind of ran down her process a little bit. And it was pretty interesting to hear.
Yeah. I imagine it'd be very different. A lot of pressure to do both.
Yeah.
But she does it really well. So.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, that would be a real fuck up if you like drop the ball if you're having a bad day.
You offer both and you're like, yeah, kind of fucked it both. You also had Lauren Scotty and
Andrea Lindquist.
Oh, yeah.
We love them.
Who are our two ultimate favorites ever. So.
Yeah. Yeah, oh Andrea Lindquist has presented twice, and she still holds the throne for the best dress.
Oh, she's amazing.
At the very first event in October 2015, she knocked everyone's
rocks off. She kills it in every way. Honestly, yeah, like
I think Lauren was pregnant when she was here, if I remember.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, I think so.
Aww.
Honestly, they both make me feel a bit sick. They're so good. It's just
talented
they are
motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're amazing.
All right, let's wind it down here. I said I would be 30 minutes. I'm already going over. So what are you looking for? What are you looking forward to with Sweden? Have you ever been to Sweden? What do you know about Sweden?
We did go. I'm so looking forward to it. Like, I think we did go for a wedding in Scotland. Is that anywhere near? I'm a bit lost. I don't know.
We might edit this one out. Scotland.
Edit it out.
Scotland is not.
Not Scotland. Gotland.
Oh, Gotland. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes.
Scotland. Oh, my gosh.
No, we know where Scotland is.
Okay, well, Gotland is like, it's pretty magical there. If you were there, you saw the best of Sweden. It's
amazing. Well, that's where we went. Yeah, it was amazing. We're really excited to go back.
So it would be good to see like city.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, vibe. Stockholm is pretty damn beautiful. So I think you'll enjoy it here. I hope so anyway.
I mean, you know, we love to travel. So this is the dream situation for us.
Yeah.
Well, we're stoked you're coming. It'll be fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Right on. Well, we'll wind it down there. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you're super busy. So I'm glad that we got to chat.
Thank you.
We've had an amazing time.
All right. Have a good day.
And you.
Farewell.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.